Let's do this.
Woo!
Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
All right, everybody, thanks for joining in. It is the live Between the Ropes broadcast immediately following Raw. Brian Fritz, along with the returning Michael Wiseman after 1 week off here following Raw. We have got a lot to get to on the show, including Raw, Hell in a Cell, and some other news and notes from around the wrestling world. First of all, happy birthday, Mikey. I know that's why you were off last week. So how was your birthday?
It was awesome. I did not watch Raw, and I'm not saying that's why it was awesome, because I don't want to be accused of being critical of Raw, but my birthday was a lot of fun. Had some Japanese food, had some birthday carrot cake. That was awesome. And, you know, we spent the weekend celebrating my birthday, actually. So we went down to the NASCAR race, got rained out on Saturday. We stayed till Sunday. Came back on Sunday, came to celebrate my birthday on Monday. Didn't do the show, obviously. Had some great, somebody great to fill in for me. Thank you so much, Justin. Brian, you're fabulous as always.
Fabulous.
But, you know, we're hanging in there. We're doing our thing.
Hey, did you get that hat for your birthday?
I actually, my wife got me an awesome NC State hat. This was a birthday gift to myself from myself. So I did get this hat, but it was by me. My wife got me an NC State hat. You'll see on the air maybe next week. Actually, maybe not next week. But it is new, and I'm sporting it in favor of the 5-0 Carolina Panthers. That's right. 5-0.
That's right, and a big road win on Sunday against the Seahawks, coming up big late in that game. Greg Olsen with that huge touchdown.
Cam Newton throwing it right over the middle, pretty as you please. You know, Cam, I drafted him on my fantasy team, and he ended up being a pretty good pick this year. He's not the best quarterback in the league, but he's coming into his own pretty well. But yeah, 5-0, making some noise here in Carolina. But Brian,
let's get to the important stuff here, and that is, what are you drinking right now?
I am drinking, in favor of October, and since our month is getting away from us, I brought back the Oktoberfest.
Of course you did.
So let's crack this bad boy open. As Slim Shady says, crack a bottle. Am I right?
There you go. Enjoy a sip right there.
So, Brian, you know, before we get into all this wrestling biz stuff,
sure,
I got a question for you.
Yes.
Something happened today. Something happened tonight, actually, more specifically.
Something did happen tonight.
On Monday Night Football. I was watching Raw.
Do you know what happened tonight?
Let me guess. Wait.
I'm going to tell you exactly what happened tonight.
Did it involve you purchasing something?
I got tickets to Star Wars on opening night. Woo! That's right. Star Wars opening night. I got them. And the funny thing is, so all the talk was, of course, that tickets were going to be going on sale all over the world, immediately following the trailer airing on Monday Night Football. And it was airing at halftime, right?
Right.
Well, me being the persistent nerd that I am, I went on to a little website known as Fandango.com, not the wrestler, but the ticketing website for movies. But I went on there, and I was on there probably about 7:30 Eastern. So I'm looking at it, and they actually had for the theater in my area. I have a couple in my area, but there's one in particular I like going to. And they had movie times for it in the IMAX 3D and the real 3D. And I'd love to go see it in those, but 3D doesn't really work that great for me or for some other friends that were coming with me to the movie. And I was, I had said, I will get tickets for everybody. I actually called the movie theater, talked to a guy there and said, hey, dude, do you know if the 2D tickets are going to be going on sale tonight? And he said, well, that's the plan, but it's kind of up to Disney on when we can release the tickets and the times for everything, and 2D might be available tonight or some of them might. But he goes, just be kind of on the lookout. I don't want to guarantee anything. He goes, your best bet would probably be to come here to the movie theater. We'll be selling those tickets tonight, probably starting around 8:30, maybe a little bit later until about 11 o'clock tonight. I was like, okay, I'm thinking I'm not going to the theater. But anyway, I'm sitting there on the website, and for whatever reason, I had actually been looking at the wrong day. I was looking at Friday, December the 18th.
Okay.
And the movie actually opens the night before. So I changed dates to the night before. And when I saw the the time listing for the movies. Now, mind you, it was all like a dulled orange before, okay? But when I refreshed the page, not only were the times for the 3D movies up, but they were for the normal 2D. And guess what? They weren't dulled. The ticket, the little tabs for buying the tickets were all in bright orange. And I was like, wait a second. Can I buy tickets to Star Wars right now at 7:50 p.m. Eastern? I couldn't believe it. I clicked on that thing so quick. And the next thing you know, it said, how many tickets would you like to buy? And I have all my, you know, so I picked out my tickets I needed and all my credit card information and everything I already have saved and everything. I couldn't believe it. And I went through that thing so quickly, and it's got like a little clock on there too.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, it said confirmed. And I got the email and I was like, holy crap, I got the tickets already, man. These were supposed to be available until later tonight.
Sure.
So I told another friend and he went on there really quick and he got his tickets. And then the next thing you know, the website crashed. Fandango down. Movie tickets down. The Fandango app not working. Trying all night. Friend of mine was trying to get tickets. In fact, being here in Orlando, they're actually doing a special showing that first Thursday night where you can go to the AMC Theater that's out in downtown Disney. And not only can you see the movie, but you can go to a special party at Hollywood Studios. And it's a $100 ticket, though. But she wanted to go. And she could not get on there. And let's just say a little bit frustrated. And all night long, she'd been trying to get tickets just to go to a normal time. And she couldn't. And I was trying to get them for her. And then I guess she gave up and she went to bed. And somehow I got through again. And I ended up getting her tickets too. So it was a successful night for a Star Wars nerd. And so I got all my tickets and I got to watch the trailer and it was fantastic.
You reckon I can buy tickets right now?
You can try, man. I mean, hell, you know, yeah, I was so surprised, quite honestly, because maybe it's just being here in Orlando or maybe it's that theater or whatever. But I really thought the word was going to leak out if the tickets were available early and they would sell really, really quick. And maybe they're just not selling that fast for here in Orlando at that particular theater, you know, then. But I was surprised that there was still a lot of tickets available.
Literally, all the movie show times are down. I mean, movie websites are down.
Oh, I can imagine.
Fandango's down.
Yeah, probably.
Regal's down.
AMC Theaters was down all night. Movie tickets was down all night. It's just been crazy trying to get tickets. And it was funny because when I did talk to somebody that works at the movie theater, when I called over there, he had said, he goes, it's going to be crazy tonight. He goes, just so you know how crazy it is, people over in the UK can try to buy tickets right now, but those sites have crashed and have been crashing all afternoon. So he was
Look at this. Look at this. I can buy tickets. What time is it? What show time are you going to, Brian?
I am going to the 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, December 17th.
Maybe I should buy these tickets. Let's see here. IMAX 2, IMAX for the adults.
It's the IMAX 3D. It's IMAX 3D, real 3D. See, yeah. If it worked really good for me, I'd go to that. Or if it was just a regular IMAX, I would definitely buy IMAX. But 3D doesn't work that great for me, and it definitely doesn't work for some friends of mine. So we had to scrap that. And just normal tickets.
I almost never do 3D. I think that the normal 3D is kind of crummy. Yeah. I like IMAX because it's got that double projector system, which makes everything a lot brighter. I'm not crazy about 3D on its own, but, you know, I want to do some IMAX. It's Star Wars, baby. I wanted to go see The Martian in IMAX, but The Walk was occupying all the IMAX theaters.
Mm. I did see The Martian in IMAX.
Did you?
I did. It was fantastic.
Did you go see it recently in IMAX?
I saw it a week ago.
So when it first came out?
Yes. And I'm going to go see Spectre, the Bond movie in IMAX as well.
I'm going to see them all in IMAX. I want to go see big movies in IMAX. Star Wars fits that criteria.
I can't get on that website. I can't. Well, I'm trying to get on Fandango. I cannot get on there right now. But it's been a battle. So for anybody that hasn't been able to get your tickets yet, I feel bad for you. And hopefully you can get through and you can get the tickets. I got lucky. That's what happens when you check in advance. Now the next big test for me is that night. How long will I have to stand in line to make sure that I can get good seats? Because it was not reserved seating, which would have been a huge bonus.
Sure.
But now I get to fight like everybody else for good tickets.
Well, and you know, if you don't want to go see Star Wars, there's this little thing going on called hashtag boycott Star Wars. What is that? 7?
No. Oh yeah, yeah, because
this movie's anti-white. So there you go.
Yes, it's anti-white. Yes, because there's one African American in the trailer, so it's anti-white. By the way, Fandango right now, something funny is definitely going on. We're getting to the bottom of it.
I heard that actually the whole plan behind Star Wars Episode 7 was that Luke and Leia were going to get together and build a wall around Tatooine.
It was going to be the most glorious, the most beautiful, the most luxurious wall that you've ever seen. And we're going to put a hotel up there.
Did you see Saturday Night Live? Did you see Bernie Sanders?
Larry David, which was fantastic.
It was glorious.
We better get some wrestling talk because we did have Raw tonight. Hell in a Cell is obviously coming up on Sunday, and WWE packed up Raw in Dallas. Going into Hell in a Cell, they've had trouble with ratings lately for Raw. I would dare say it's even been a crisis because they've been hitting record lows when it comes to Raw. And not only tonight did they have to go up against the NFL, the juggernaut that it is, they had to go up against a pretty good game, even though it was sloppily played, against major market teams in the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles. But they also had to go up against the Star Wars phenomenon as well. So it was a pretty tough task. So they brought out the big guns, and that being Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, and one Stone Cold Steve Austin, who for weeks now has been saying, I don't know why they're advertising me. I'm not on Raw. And what do you know? Guess who opened up Raw? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
So you mean ratings have been down the last few weeks and not up?
Ratings have been record lows.
Well, that's surprising because they've been putting on a show. You know, they've been doing their thing on Monday nights.
Well, what did you think of Raw tonight? Because I will say this, though, whether you really liked it or not, I know they jammed a lot in there. I was kind of surprised that that's the direction they went at the main event. I was really surprised that if you're going to have a Shield reunion, that you don't advertise it in advance. I was surprised they didn't advertise in advance that Stone Cold was not only going to be there, but he was going to open the show. And I do think, though, the show went by pretty quick.
Okay. So here's what happened. I was reading some fan reactions, getting a few tweets on the internets. People said, hey, Wiseman, you're too negative. Stop being so negative. Why can't you say anything nice about people? And so, you know, I kind of made a pact with myself that I wasn't going to say anything negative on this show because I really want our fans to be happy. More importantly, I want them to be happy with me because, you know, have you met me? So really, I am going to sum up my feelings about Monday Night Raw with a long pause, and you can interject what you think I'm feeling about Raw in that pause. So let's give it 5 seconds. Okay, and that sums up my feelings in Raw. Can't say it's anything negative.
You know what? So, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you are not a big fan of Raw tonight.
God, you're going to make me do it. Okay, here's the deal, Brian Fritz. I admire that they wanted to put these big names out there in Texas, hype up WrestleMania, hype up Hell in a Cell, but it felt super, super, super used car salesman. You know, it was like, let's have Stone Cold come out and introduce The Undertaker. Let's have Shawn Michaels introduce Seth Rollins. Let's have this guy do this. None of it felt genuine. And even though I liked seeing Shawn Michaels out there, and I liked seeing Stone Cold, obviously, first time in 4 years, right? And The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar came out. It just felt kind of flat. It felt kind of purposeful, purposeless, I should say. And it didn't feel like they had built this pay-per-view up to be a big show, and they were trying to just shoehorn a bunch of stuff in this last episode to say, hey, we built it up.
Yeah, I think it was one of those cases of a little bit too little too late, and that they've obviously been promoting Hell in a Cell for a few weeks now, but they haven't been doing the hard sell. I know last week they started showing that promo package, which is excellent, promoting Brock Lesnar against The Undertaker, but That's a match that I thought they should have been promoting hard for weeks on end. And I know they still had the Brock Lesnar versus Big Show match at Madison Square Garden. They were pushing that there for a week. But you know what? To me, it was all about Hell in a Cell. You got to promote Lesnar and Taker harder. You got to do more. And I thought they should have done more when it comes to the Seth Rollins Kane match in promoting that. I mean, if you're going to have the world champion out there, promote that match. I still think it's one of these cases, and they don't do it anymore, and I don't understand why, but announce the matches quicker in advance, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks out, and every week, at least twice during Raw, do that hard sell where you're showing the graphics and you run down the entire card. Here's what you've got for Hell in a Cell so far. It's so simple and so effective, and they refuse to do that, and I always go back to this when it comes to wrestling storylines and how to sell, you know, angles and sell shows. Simple is better. Simple is better. And for whatever reason, yep. WWE strayed from that to the point where it's weird. Some of the things that they tend to spend time on to really push hard and push hard, and push hard. And then when it comes to this, an event like Hell in a Cell, for whatever reason, it doesn't feel like they're pushing it that hard. It's just kind of moderate and in spots and where it fits. You know, and when it comes to the ratings, too, I mean, a lot of that is just because the storylines right now have been weak. I mean, the NFL is going to be a giant. They have to go up against that. They got to go into Major League Baseball playoffs right now, and that's only going to get tougher because they're in the championship series and the World Series is right around the corner. Go Cubs. But, I mean, you know, it happens every year. And so, you know what? You've got to build your character stronger. You've got to have stronger main event guys. You got to have fresh talent that's out there for storylines. And you've got to have something that's engaging. It can't be the same run of the mill. Hey, let's just throw guys out there. Oh, you know what? Let's get by on this week or whatever. You've got to do something different. And they just aren't doing that right now.
Yeah. And you bring up this whole sports thing, this whole Monday Night Football. We got the World Series going on. The thing is, football's going to be there, and it's going to be there 5 nights out of the week nowadays, right? We get, what, Tuesdays and Wednesdays off, but Monday night, Thursday night, NFL, Friday night, NCAA, Saturday, NCAA, Sunday, NFL. There is no escaping from it, and somehow or another, plenty of other televised programs manage to do okay, even up against these rating juggernauts. So you have to at some point say, okay, there must be something with our product that's not clicking with our audience for audience members to continue to taper off like this. Now, again, I'm not supposed to be critical here. I think some things need to be fixed. I think the build for this pay-per-view has been lackluster, and in a storyline that pretty much builds itself, it felt like we just didn't get off on the right foot at the beginning of October, and I think the last 2 weeks have really hurt the momentum of the product. That being said, everybody did fine the night, and there was nothing particularly egregiously bad about anything that happened. I think Teddy Long must have come back because we had enough 6-man tag matches to fill an entire season's worth of SmackDown. But, you know, otherwise it was fine. It was fine.
The ghost of Teddy Long was strong on tonight's show.
Holla, holla.
Holla, playa. Let's run down the show. So, like I said, they opened up the show. Stone Cold Steve Austin out there talked to the crowd and was talking about, hey, I'm going to be talking to Brock Lesnar on the WWE Network following Raw on the Stone Cold podcast. And then he talked about Hell in a Cell, Brock Lesnar facing The Undertaker, and he introduced Taker. So the dead man came out, and he basically said, he talked about Lesnar. He talked about the match. He said, the gates of hell will look like the gates of heaven compared to where I'm taking you on Sunday in Hell in a Cell. Lesnar came out, stayed on top of the stage. Of course, Paul Heyman was the one that was doing the talking and said they wanted to avenge the disputed, tainted, and illegitimate victory that Taker claimed at SummerSlam. Lesnar decided to walk to the ring, jumped up on the apron, was ready to fight. Heyman screamed, pleaded with the Beast Incarnate, and finally, Lesnar jumped off the apron, smirked, and walked to the back amongst a showering of boos from the crowd. So, I guess maybe now suddenly Brock Lesnar is the heel and The Undertaker is the babyface going into this.
There you go. I mean, I forget what happened last week because it was my birthday. So Vince McMahon's right. Fans don't keep up with the product. So, you know, it makes sense. Let's go.
Yeah.
Good for Undertaker. He deserves to be the babyface. Yeah. It's good for him.
By the way, it's cool seeing Stone Cold out there. Like I said, though, if you're going to have Austin on that show, how are you not promoting that all day on Twitter? Why are you not saying Stone Cold Steve Austin is at Raw for the first time in 4 years? And guess what? He's going to open the show. So don't go anywhere. You want to see the Texas Rattlesnake.
But here's fighting this urge tonight to just really dig into something.
I'm already digging into them. I mean, it's legitimate gripes.
So here's my thing about it. Why would you have Stone Cold Steve Austin come out and introduce The Undertaker and then disappear? Okay, we've had stare downs between Taker and Lesnar before. We've had it dozens of times between these two builds. This was your one chance with Austin in the ring to mediate these two men. Have them both come out face to face, and Austin is just right there in the middle, holding them apart. Right, can't get physical, and you use Austin in this promoter role almost. Right, he's the Don King out there, kind of pimping out the match. That's what we needed in this segment. That would have given it an extra spark. As it stands, it felt like okay, we're going to see Taker and Lesnar again. Putting Stone Cold Steve Austin in the middle of that segment. I'm not always a fan of it, but these guys are already established. He's not going to overshadow the feud or the rivalry. It would have made that extra sell and made me super excited.
Maybe he was just thirsty and, nobody had any Steve Weisers there at ringside, so he had to go to the back.
Should have come to my house. Thirst. Which, by the way, I got to make a quick costume change. We're talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin. You have to give me half a second here.
Okay. Ooh, switching hats, everybody. There it is, Stone Cold University, going old school with the hat.
Going old school with the hat.
I like how you still have the same exact colors. You've got the light blue, and you've got the black. Same as your other hat, your Carolina Panthers hat. Just a different message entirely.
If you can find this hat online somewhere, this hat is probably 20 years old. I mean,
I love that the bill is like totally crooked.
This is like original. You don't understand. This is like when Austin was popular back in the day, I got this hat and wore it.
Does it say Austin 316 on the back?
No, actually, it says WWF. Look at this.
WWF? What? You can't say that. Hold on. Oh, look at that. It does say it says class of 316.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Lower that thing a little bit or lower your head. Let's see that. Look at that. Oh, that old scratch logo. Look at that. World Wrestling Federation. I'm not even sure what that is anymore.
Neither is Vince McMahon. So there you go. Here's my look for the rest of the show.
By the way, I'm on Fandango if you want me to get tickets to Star Wars. Anybody want me to get tickets? I'm on Fandango right now.
I got tickets in my cart, but I don't have anybody to go with. So let's see what my wife says.
Yeah, I was going to say, your wife, she'll go to that with you.
She might be in bed right now. Might be too late for her.
Just buy the tickets. You're going to be able to sell them if you want. You know, there's already people selling tickets to the IMAX 3D opening night on eBay for over $100 a pop.
Shut your mouth.
I'm not kidding.
I need bad boys right now. Get my credit card here in a minute. Get the show on the road.
First match of the night, Johnny Boots and Tights. You know him as John Cena. He is teaming up with the Dudley Boys against the New Day, Kofi Kingston, Big E, and Xavier Woods. At one point in this match, Big E showed off his immense strength as he held John Cena in his arms like a baby and then gyrated around with Cena at his midsection, which was very interesting, to say the least. And as all six men started getting involved, guess what? Xavier Woods, he snuck up behind Devon and rolled him up, held the tights, got the pin. And then afterwards, somebody had to go through a table. And once again, it was Mr. Woods.
There we go. I think it was a fun start. I liked it. I good build for Sunday.
It was fun. That roll up finish though, man. That has got to go the way of the dodo bird.
I knew you'd love that. I knew you would love that.
It was horrible.
You'd love it.
It was horrible, to say the least. They did an interview backstage. Renee Young was interviewing Dean Ambrose, somebody that she knows fairly well, and they talked about how Randy Orton wasn't there. There was rumors that the Wyatt family screwed with Randy because he wasn't in Mexico for the shows and he wasn't there tonight. Yet, he's supposed to team with Dean Ambrose come Sunday at Hell in a Cell to take on the Wyatt family. So Ambrose said, that's fine. I'll take him on by myself tonight. So they had that. Sasha Banks and Naomi taking on Nikki Bella and Alicia Fox. Nikki got the win when she pinned Naomi. Rack attack. Luckily, Sasha Banks did not get pinned in this, and they're saving her. They are not adding her to the championship match, though, at Hell in a Cell. Are you surprised by that?
A little bit, I guess. Yeah, a little bit.
I think they want to save her out. I think we're going to get – do you think we can get babyface feud, Sasha against Charlotte?
I think it's a possibility. It almost feels too soon for that.
I got to do something to save this hashtag Divas Revolution, though.
Right, but Divas Revolution is dead. My question is this. Doing this on this roster at this point, does it hurt or help the Revolution? I don't know. It feels like we need something, so we're just pulling a straw, going with the desperate measure here. You know,
you got to go to the basics, and you know what? The Divas Revolution is supposed to be about strong women, you know, getting equal time and showing their stuff in the ring, just like the men, showing they can do it just as good as the men, if not better, and they can have strong matches. And guess what? Put your people out there that can have strong matches and let them show their stuff. And the funny thing is, now would be a good time to do that, because we'll talk about this a little bit more as we go on here, but John Cena is reportedly taking time off following Hell in a Cell. Like, he is going to be out until December. And while it hasn't been, you know, explained what exactly he's doing, the belief is that he's going to be taping for the lead role in a fitness reality show on Fox. That's why he's taking time off, because he won't say it. And everybody says, well, is he getting engaged or is he getting married? And that's not the case. He's not injured. He's not just taking time off to take time off. He's got a project, and he says everybody's going to be, you know, it's going to really help out. It's going to be really cool once you find out. And that's the belief, is that he's doing this, you know, fitness reality show on Fox. So we'll see if that's in fact the case, but he's taking time off. And with Cena not being there, that means somebody else is going to get that TV time. Somebody else is going to get that emphasis. So maybe now would be a good time to focus more when it comes to the women.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it for half a second. The pessimist in me does not believe that's what's going to happen.
Probably not.
Do you think that's what's going
to
happen?
No. I think now would be a good time to do it, but I don't think it's going to happen. So
I agree.
Good news of the night, Corporate Kane suspended. He could not be at Raw. Now, how many people thought, oh, well, here we go again. Corporate Kane suspended, but Demon Kane, he's going to show up before the end of the night.
Yeah, that's exactly the prediction I thought. I read online, and I was expecting it, and they tricked me, man. They surprised me real good. Did not happen.
Obviously, Demon Kane was not watching or didn't get the memo, so he was not there. Shawn Michaels is there. Oh, Shawn! And Shawn was out there in Vince McMahon's favorite attire, wearing camo. If there was going to be a flood, Shawn was prepared tonight, wearing his boots. Or if there was going to be animals he needed to hide from at some point.
He comes out in the craziest things, man. He just comes out in like outfits.
Dude, he does that to piss off Vince McMahon, because Vince hates it.
Well, and I guess my whole thing is, Shawn Michaels comes out as a comedian nowadays too. Like, he doesn't really ever come out in a serious role anymore, it feels like. He had, back whenever that feud with Triple H was going on with him and Undertaker, he's a little more serious, but anymore, he comes out, he eats pizzas from audience members and drinks their sodas. It's
crazy. Yeah, let's talk about that. So he came out to the ring, and there was a kid there as he was walking out that was eating a slice of pizza. So Shawn went over and grabbed the slice and took a big bite, and then made his way to the ring and act like he was blown up. And he was jokey Shawn at first, and, you know, talking about, oh, I had to get out here. But then he got serious, because he talked about, he talked about being in hell and being in a cell. I've been in both. But then he got serious, and he talked about the importance of hell in a cell. He talked about how he was in the first one against Undertaker and everything. And then Seth Rollins came out, and basically Seth railed on Shawn for saying, you screwed up. All you had to do is come on here and introduce me. I'm the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. You couldn't even do that. So Shawn then railed on Seth, saying, you're just like all of these other guys. You all want to be like me. You grew up being a fan of me. You love me. But guess what? Here's the difference. I never wanted to be a 2.0. I never wanted to follow in somebody's footsteps. I wanted to be better than the original. And guys like you are, you know, come and go all the time. Sean even said something like, if I had a nickel for every guy that wanted to be like me, I'd be a billionaire by now. Rollins said, I've had enough of this. Play my music. And they wouldn't play his music. And Sean said, guess what? When you are, you know, playing second fiddle, they don't play your music. But I don't. So they can hit my music. And by the way, you've got a match and you're facing the Ryback. And that did not sit well with Seth. But guess what? Seth had a match against Ryback. And he won. It was amazing. I can't remember what it looked like. The world champion, Seth Rollins, won a match clean on Raw.
Yeah, it was fun, man. I mean, the Seth Rollins stuff was fun. That was cool. I liked it.
It was
crazy. The Ryback match, you know, his side was okay.
So
I can't say anything mean. I just can't do it.
Yeah. So we got Teddy Long specialty, Cesaro, Neville, and Dolph Ziggler against Rusev, King Barrett, and Sheamus. When you saw this match, and I know I did this on Twitter, at Brian Fritz, I immediately thought, well, I know who's taking the pin in this match. Did you feel the same way?
I kind of did, because it just seemed so obvious. But
it seemed very obvious that Rusev was going to be pinned, considering that he is
right
supposedly in the doghouse, because obviously the word is out, and they even talked about it last week on the show about how he is legitimately engaged to Lana. And she put all these pictures out on Instagram, showing off her ring and then talking about how they're engaged. So it totally screwed up the storyline. And it looked like, you know, Rusev and Lana are in the doghouse. Lana even put out some cryptic tweets over the weekend about speaking her mind and, you know, freedom of speech and all these different things. So the belief was, oh my God, Rusev is just going to get buried now. But guess what? He was on the winning team here tonight. Because it was Sheamus got a broke kick on Dolph Ziggler, and then King Barrett actually pinned him. So Barrett actually got a pin too.
So here's my thing. Why is he in the doghouse? Why are they in trouble for this?
Because it wasn't because they got engaged, and that's fine. It's because they were so open about it on social media and screwed up a storyline. So Vince did not like that. It's like, because, I mean, you know how much WWE, how much they put into social media, Twitter, Instagram, all of that stuff, right? And because they were very public about it, WWE is like, what the hell? I mean, I understand there's certain things, if you want to share with your public or your private life, you can, but don't screw up storylines. And they screwed up a storyline.
I know, but just kayfabe is dead, right? Kayfabe is dead. So what's the Anywho, it's all good. I like this pairing better. We've said forever that Lana and Rusev should be together, not Rusev and Summer Rae. So we're good.
Right. That tag match, it was fine, but it was nothing like it just kind of got slapped together. And it's like, here's six guys that we really don't have a huge direction for right now. So we'll just put them all in a match. Especially when it comes to Sheamus. I mean, Sheamus is supposed to be where he is, Mr. Money in the Bank, and that feels so meaningless right now. I can't remember the last time that somebody held that briefcase and it felt less important.
I agree. Well, and again, we've been saying this for a while. That's how WWE does this. They basically make the briefcase holder feel really insignificant so he can cash in. So we could be looking at a cash in come Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I mean, never say never. So Ric Flair was there. Woo! And he was talking about how much he loved Dallas. And he talked about the Von Erichs, the Flairs, and the Freebirds. And he hyped WrestleMania. And he was there to introduce his main man, Roman by God Reigns, which got a very mixed reaction. And so Roman came out. And then guess what? Wyatt video flashed. And the Wyatt family was their ringside. It was Bray, Braun, and Eric Rowan, the returning Eric Rowan. which Michael Cole later on tonight said, where's he been? So I guess he didn't get the memo that Eric was injured. And as for Luke Harper, they're like, where's that guy at? Does he have something to do with Randy Orton getting injured? So Roman said, hey, Bray, you want to have a conversation? Come on in here rather than sending your goons at me. Let's each sit here in a chair and let's have a little conversation. And by the way, Ric Flair, he disappeared like a magic trick, okay?
Again, I mean, that's what they brought these guys in here to introduce the stars and then just get out of there. And I think that took some away from the show.
They do not have much trust in Ric Flair and a live microphone, which sucks, but it's true. So basically, Roman Reigns talked some smack a little bit. Bray laughed him a little bit. And then Roman said, you're afraid of me. And guess what? We're going to face each other. Hell in a cell. We're going to end this thing. And then just when it was all about to, you know, go down, Dean Ambrose made the save. He came sliding in. So him and Roman each had a chair. And they fended off the Wyatt family. And Dean Ambrose is like, basically they set it up to where now it was going to be Roman teaming up with Dean Ambrose at the end of the night against the Wyatts. But it was still going to be a 2-on-3 match. So backstage, there's Shawn Michaels, there's Triple H, there's Stephanie, and there's Seth Rollins. And they were all talking about who is going to be the partner. Shawn Michaels said, why'd you have Seth Rollins? And Triple H is like, no. He's already had a match and this and that. And, you know, making it sound like Seth was a wimp. And Seth's like, no. I'll do it. I will do it. I will step up. They need a guy. I'm the world champion. I'll be the partner. So we got a Shield reunion just like that. And this was done about, you know, later on night. So it was kind of crazy.
It was like 40 minutes from the end of the show, I think. It was pretty close.
Something like that. Yeah. So they did Charlotte taking on Brie Bella in a non-title match. Charlotte got the win. Nothing special here, but, you know, it would need to be done. It was about a 5-minute match. Afterwards, here's a really important thing. Probably the best promo of the night. So Paige is backstage, and Renee Young interviewed her and was talking about, was Paige the one behind attacking Natalya on SmackDown? And Paige wouldn't answer and was going back and forth. And so Renee stayed on her, and Paige said, it could have been anybody. It could have been anybody right now in the division. It could have been any of the veterans like Trish Stratus or Lita or Alunda Blaze. Have you seen her? She's been talking trash on Twitter and taking shots online. And she then said, she referred to Renee Young at one point as, are you trying to be Sally Jesse Raphael? And then she said, by the way, you need to get your facts straight and you're not as cute as Aaron Andrews. So she was back talking every which way.
Which I didn't know who that was until my wife pointed out
who Aaron Andrews was.
Well, kind of did, but I couldn't remember. I was like, who was that lady again? Oh, yeah.
Get with the times, my man. Did you know who Sally Jesse Raphael was?
I did, actually. I knew who that was, but.
Well, I don't think Renee Young has the big Coke bottle glasses that Sally wore, but that's back. Like, I was hoping for a Phil Donahue reference at that point, man. That would have been great. That's one of Vince's favorite people of all time. Or not. So then we got Kevin Owens against Mark Henry. Non-title match. Yeah. Guess who won this one? Mark Henry got a little offense, but he ended up getting pinned with a pop-up powerbomb, believe it or not, in less than 4 minutes. Afterwards, Ryback came down because he wanted a little piece of Kevin Owens who's facing in Hell in a Cell. Kevin Owens decided to leave the ring. Mark Henry threw him back in the ring, not before smashing his nose on the mat as he threw him back in. Ryback powerbombed him, and Kevin Owens laid there in a heap after being monsterly powerbombed by the Ryback, and he had a cut on his nose. So not a good night for Kevin Owens right there.
Yep. I mean, Kevin Owens, he's got the title, but I just feel like he's somewhat second rung right now, which is a shame because I love the guy and I'm glad he has a belt. Do you think he's going to win on Sunday?
I do. And he's another guy that would see it taking time off if they really want to push another guy to another rung. And I know that they already did Kevin Owens against John Cena, and that was a high profile feud. But with Cena being gone, if they're looking for somebody else to take another step up, Kevin Owens would be a good decision. Now, the interesting thing there, of course, would be it would be a heel getting that run rather than a babyface. But Kevin Owens has done well. I think he's very different. He's very unique. And it would be an interesting choice and something different and something I'd like to see WWE embrace.
Sure, I agree.
Now, mind you, we know already, and you could, we've already known this, we could really tell by this show, by the end of the night, that Roman Reigns is obviously still very high in their plans. And I would expect a lot more from Roman. In fact, I think Roman Reigns against Seth Rollins could be the next feud that we see for Seth when it comes to, you know, the championship feud. But why not do something more with KO? You know, especially if Cena's gone and we don't know who the U.S. champion is going to be, put more emphasis on that championship instead.
I agree. And it's another moment where you could, with Cena stepping out, you could elevate Kevin Owens and the Intercontinental Championship and kind of let it occupy that space without John Cena.
By the way, this next segment was actually the segment where they did the backstage thing where Seth Rollins said, I will team up and we'll put together the Shield again. So once again, that's cool that they did a Shield reunion, but I don't think they should have done it. Or if they were going to do it, maybe it was should have been something advertised in advance, because the Shield was such a hot act and people love them that they just kind of gave it away. They just slapped together. I mean, this is shotgun television. Like when we saw, you know, Raw against Nitro in the Monday Night Wars days, it's not to this level, but it's kind of like, hey, we're going to give away Goldberg against Hogan, you know? Now, mind you, they did advertise that in advance, but, you know, and the Shield's nowhere as near as big as that. But, I mean, they're a big act. If you're gonna do that, put it on a bigger show, maybe build up to it a lot more, and then advertise it. So,
I mean, I guess I kind of agree with you, but I also think, on the other hand, it's not like this was the official Shield reunion, right? They were all in the same ring at the same time, wrestling together, but Seth Rollins was still the odd man out. He was still kind of calling the shots and basically looking down at his Shield brethren. So it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you, I think, only because, again, I don't see this as being the official Shield reunion. They just happen to be together. I think down the line we'll get a more official reunion for these three guys.
So then we got the trailer for the new Star Wars movie, because everybody, of course, switched over. Which, by the way, fantastic trailer. Just really, really, really good stuff there. a lot more Han Solo and Chewbacca on this one, too.
This is what you praise. This is what you come back to.
So we got Princess about Leia. We got Princess Leia on this trailer, even. Like, we hadn't seen Leia yet.
Back to me about tickets. I'm sitting here. I'm pinging my wife tickets. I got tickets in my cart ready to go, and she won't get back.
Dude, I'm sitting here on a page where I can buy tickets right now. I guess nobody in Orlando is buying tickets, because the theater near me, all the ticket times are available for everything. 3D, 2D, you name it.
Same here.
I'm afraid the body extras are trying to sell them, because obviously nobody wants to go.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that. That's a terrible money-making scheme.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Play the stock market.
Yeah, I'm not doing that either. So the
stock market.
We got the Shield against the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt, Eric Rowan, and Braun Strowman, who late in the match, Braun Strowman almost missed breaking up a pin. He came very, very close as Roman Reigns was going crazy on Eric Rowan with a Samoan drop, Superman punch, you name it. Strowman broke it up, though. Dean Ambrose went after Braun Strowman, who threw him over the top rope. So guess what? Strowman then got his choke on Roman Reigns. So he's choking him out. He's ripping around like a rag doll. So there's Dean Ambrose. And by the way, Seth Rollins walked out in the middle of this match. He's like, I've had enough of this. So it was 3-on-2. But Ambrose is seeing his friend get choked out by this monster. And he goes, he's looking for a weapon under the ring. And guess what? There's a chair. I don't want a chair. There's another chair. I don't want that chair. There's a kendo stick. That's what I want. So he goes to the ring. Yeah. He hits Strowman with the kendo stick. And he gets DQ'd. But Strowman lets go of Roman. And Ambrose is lighting up Strowman, but he just sits there, takes the pain, grabs the stick, and breaks it across his knee. which was pretty impressive. I'll say that. Finally, Strowman ended up outside the ring. He got low bridged. He rushed at Ambrose, who lowered the top rope. So Strowman goes outside the ring. Ambrose tried to suicide dive. Strowman caught him and power bombed him in one motion, flat on the floor, which looked painful as hell. And yeah, so the next thing you know, Bray Wyatt was there and he was beating up Ambrose, and Rowan was there. So Roman Reigns did this crazy dive just over the top rope, like Undertaker style, was going nuts. And then back in the ring, he threw a Wyatt in there and he speared Wyatt, and he kind of clipped Eric Rowan, who was right there. He was supposed to spear both guys at the same time, but Rowan got there late. So he speared Wyatt, then he speared Rowan, and he stood tall going into Hell in a Cell.
There you go, man. That's your final build. That's your final build right there. That's going to sell the pay-per-views. That's going to put their butts in the seats, man.
Are you surprised they didn't end That's with it. Something with Taker and Lesnar?
Yes. I am surprised the show was booked the way it was, because you're selling this pay-per-view on that match. And we're going to try to make the argument here that maybe Seth Rollins and Kane is second. Maybe Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns is third, possibly. But those aren't selling this. And I gotta give it to WWE. They're trying to make this Bray Wyatt Roman Reigns feud a big thing. They're making that the sell match because they say this rivalry has earned it. And I appreciate that. But again, so much focus has been put into Seth Rollins and Kane. So much focus, obviously for good reason, has been put into The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, that not using that as your go-home segment doesn't make any sense to me. You save Stone Cold for the end of the show. I guess he had to get ready for his podcast, right? So we're overthinking it. Again, logistically, Stone Cold needs to get ready for his podcast. They let him go to the back, have some time to do that. I don't know.
I think Stone Cold could open that thing up, but Lesnar could sit down, you know, maybe fine. Right.
Like, my whole thing is this. Like, if you end the show with Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out to introduce The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, he goes back to the back, gets ready for the show. Brock Lesnar, Undertaker, in each other's faces to end this show. And then he goes back immediately afterwards and starts the podcast. That's going to sell your podcast in the overrun. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I mean, I think they could have done more when it comes to, you know, you're going to bring in these legends. You've got to do more with these guys. I mean, Austin, we haven't seen there for four years. You've got Shawn Michaels there. You got Ric Flair there. I mean, do something more, though. I mean, the most that they did with any one of them was with Shawn.
Yep. And even that felt very lackluster. Kind of felt lame secondhand, you know?
So while we got to see a returning Eric Rowan, one guy we did not see on the show tonight that we will see maybe on SmackDown tomorrow night or later in the week, or maybe next week on Raw or on SmackDown, or the following week, will be debuting on the main roster, Tyler Breeze, because apparently he has been brought up to the main roster.
He'll be debuting this coming Sunday to answer John Cena's open challenge, and he will win the belt.
Well, that's interesting that you say that. I don't know if that's going to happen, but yeah, John Cena is going to have a United States open challenge at Hell in a Cell. So, do you really think Tyler Breeze could be the guy that answers that?
I mean, I'm not going to say so, but I will say this. Today on the WWE.com website, the thingamajig, they did have a list of five guys who won belts on their opening night, on their debut night, I should say. So Tyler Breeze, his debut night, wins the belt. It makes sense. It echoes WWE.com. Foreshadowing, baby.
I mean, Tyler Breeze being John Cena in his first night, that'd be pretty crazy.
I mean, listen, let's look back. Let's look at the people who could. Seth Rollins couldn't do it. Kevin Owens couldn't finish the job. Randy Orton has never been able to do it. So it kind of makes sense
but that Kevin Owens is your man. Why did his debut beating John Cena?
Yeah, but he lost his way along the way. So,
but he won in his first match on the WWE roster. He beat John Cena. I don't think they're going to book Tyler Breeze as strong as they're booking Kevin Owens, though.
Yeah, man, they're going to put the Teresa's going straight to the moon. He's going to be he's world champion. WrestleMania 2016, Dallas.
There you go.
Royal Rumble, he's winning it. Listen, this is it. Fantasy booking, man.
WWE just can't wait for Tyler Breeze so they can sell selfie sticks that, you know, have his logo on it or something. That's all it is, man.
That's right. So, okay, follow up. Not Tyler Breeze, then who?
Well, I was kind of thinking Dolph Ziggler, even though he did that on Raw last week.
Okay, I could buy that.
But he is in a match on the show now already.
That's true.
He is in the pre-show match. It's Ziggler, Cesaro, and Neville against Sheamus, Rusev, and King Barrett. We're bringing it back. Why? I don't
know. Bring them all back.
They're bringing back that match. I mean, they did that match tonight. They're doing it again on the pay-per-view. You already forgot that they did it on this show, didn't you?
I did. I didn't know what you're talking about, but this show is still a blur in my mind. Teddy Long, man, he was all over the place tonight.
Yeah, I don't know what the plans are when it comes to Tyler Breeze and how strong they plan on booking him or not. But hey, you know, I think he was at a place in NXT where he was just fine, but I don't know where he could have grown there. And it was like one of those points where, okay, you can just kind of keep doing what you're doing in NXT or we'll put you up on the main roster. Now, I do hope that if he does not debut at that pay-per-view on Sunday, that before he debuts, they actually show some vignettes of him to introduce this audience to Tyler Breeze, or else he's going to come out and people aren't going to know who he is, what he's all about, or anything, and he is going to fall flat.
Yeah, he already runs that risk, though, and I think that's the problem. That's my concern. Tyler Breeze has not – people know in NXT, but he's kind of taken a back seat in recent months. He did have that great match at NXT Brooklyn, but – again, his character's taken the back seat in recent months. I'm really worried his debut is going to go over flat. He's going to be on SmackDown, be back to NXT, and then be off the roster entirely. That's my concern.
Let's talk a little Hell in a Cell. Let's run down the card, what we have right now, okay?
Okay.
So we've got the dark match, six-man tag, which I mentioned. Obviously, the main event is Hell in a Cell, Taker against Lesnar. There's also Hell in a Cell, Roman Reigns against Bray Wyatt. And also there is the WWE World Title match. It is Rollins against Kane. If Kane loses, Corporate Kane will no longer be the director of operations. And I believe WWEshop.com will be selling World's Greatest Director of Operations mugs at half off at that point.
It's a pretty good theory.
By the way, you can buy that mug at WWEshop.com. That coffee.
I don't get to direct operations, though, so I that's meaningless to me. Dead to me.
So John Cena against a challenger for the United States Championship. Kevin Owens will face the Ryback for the Intercontinental Championship. WWE Tag Team Titles, New Day against the Dudleys. And then we get Charlotte defending the Divas Championship against Nikki Bella. So it's not a bad card, quite honestly.
Oh, no, it's pretty good. I like it.
Okay, so six-man tag, pre-show. My guess is Ziggler, Cesaro, and Neville get their win back.
Okay.
You agree?
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Cena against somebody for the U.S. title. So somebody. Here's the thing.
Okay, somebody.
So if Cena is, in fact, going to be taking time off, does he have to lose the championship here, or could it be one of these cases where he just gets injured and because they can say, oh, well, he might only be gone for 6 or 7 weeks, that the title will just – that he'll just be injured and the title doesn't get defended during that time?
He loses the belt. He's gone, man. Whoever, somebody. The masked man in the preview shots, we don't know who it is. That's who wins the belt on Sunday.
The cell
is the new champion. Done.
Well, if it's not Tyler Breeze, and I said Dolph Ziggler, maybe. Who else do you think it could be? Because the only other person I could kind of think of, Sami Zayn's unhealthy.
He's not healthy yet. What's he doing? What's he been doing all this time?
He was it evolved this past weekend, appearing for them, but he was a wrestler.
Well, there you go. He wasn't wrestling. Focus on getting ready. Why don't you get better first?
He's working on one of these. He's not going to be cleared until December or January.
Slacker.
Hideo Itami.
This is a TNA. Soon. This is a legitimate promotion. Come on.
We'll get to TNA coming up here. What if they did something like, what if like the entire Wyatt family beat up Cena and then Luke Harper took advantage of that and answered the challenge and he won the title?
Who was that?
Luke Harper.
I just wanted to make sure you said Luke Harper.
I did.
That's crazy and insane, and it's a terrible idea. Okay, moving on.
Is it insane in the membrane?
No, just what? Just
what do you have against?
Not Luke even a joke. Harper. We've been there, done that, right?
Okay, let me ask you, Ambrose. Okay, biggest pop that you could imagine. What if it was Daniel Bryan that answered the call?
I will say this. I might literally pee myself.
I was going to say the same thing. I might pee myself. Or would you be more excited about Daniel Bryan coming out or watching the Star Wars trailer?
Ooh, that's Daniel Bryan. For the first time. Okay. I love Daniel Bryan. Well, yeah, the new Star Wars trailer. I haven't watched Star Wars trailer yet, man.
This Daniel,
I've been here. I haven't even done it yet.
Daniel Bryan possibly returning. That's like one of these things that's just dangling over our heads. But the thing is, he still has to go get checked out by a third doctor. And that has not happened yet. So it's not going to be Daniel.
It could happen Thursday. It could be Friday. It could happen Saturday.
I don't know if they're going to have the results back that quick. And WWE is just going to say, oh, so this other doctor cleared you. And so that means we're instantly going to give you, you know, we're going to clear you as well. We're going to stamp you and say, you know what? You're perfectly fine. Go on out there and have a match. I don't think that's going to happen.
In the words of the infamous Jim Ross, anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation.
Didn't we see that last week when a couple got married or got engaged during Raw?
World Wrestling Federation. Did you see that? That was in the back of
my head. By the way, the guy that did propose to his girlfriend, and obviously they're engaged now. Yeah. He gave me a little retweet action on the old Twitter last week.
Rusev?
No, the guy that proposed to his girlfriend during Raw.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In the Raw. Crowd during the Cena match.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, so Kevin Owens against Ryback. I think KO's winning.
I totally watched last week's Raw. I swear I did. I did. Look, this is my serious face. It happened. It was SmackDown. I watched SmackDown.
There's nothing serious when you're wearing a hat like that on right now, okay?
Listen, it's like this is how my week goes nowadays. I spend 3 hours watching Raw, every single match all the way through into the podcast. Wednesday nights, it's Ring of Honor, TNA, NXT.
The only thing that would make your outfit look better right now is if you put a nice big piece of bright tape in the middle of your glasses, like they were broken down the middle, okay?
Oh, that's funny.
That would be fantastic. Do you think Kevin Owens is leaving as the IC champion or will it be Ryback?
Yes, I do think so. He is. Ryback will lose, is what I mean to say.
Tag titles, yeah. New Day against the Dudleys. Love the New Day. Sooner or later, I think the Dudleys have to win. So I guess I'll go Dudleys.
It's got to be this weekend, right? Like they got to win this weekend. I mean, otherwise, it's all for naught.
Right.
It's all for naught.
Charlotte against Nikki Bella for the Divas Championship. I'll say Charlotte.
Okay, I will say Charlotte as well.
It'd be ridiculous if Nikki won the belt back to me.
It would Roman Reigns. It would be like,
It'd be like what?
It would be like what?
Roman Reigns against Bray Wyatt. I'll take Bray. I'm sorry. What am I saying?
God,
excuse me. I will take Roman Reigns, obviously.
I'm taking Bray Wyatt.
Are you really?
Yes, sir.
That makes no sense.
Yes, sir. Okay. Why not?
Well, they want to push Roman Reigns, especially with Cena being gone. So I think Roman's getting the win.
All right, fine. I pick Roman Reigns. I'm on your side now.
Bray Wyatt, it's already good. In stone, man.
Right. You convinced me. What you made the argument? I believe you,
dude. That's like the 11th commandment. I saw Moses put it in the back one of the tablets. Okay, so that's in.
What is that? I have to pick what Roman Reigns will win.
No, that you took Bray Wyatt.
It's an 11th commandment now. That's all it took.
Yes. Moses was over here right now. So
I know, right? Know. I was going to say. So Moses, like, so let me get this straight, right? So
Moses wanted. Moses saw that I was on Fandango and wanted to make sure I got him tickets to Star Wars. Okay.
Just Moses saw a burning bush at one point, right? So God spoke to Moses, and Moses saw a burning bush, and he carried this giant.
And you know what God's message was? When Star Wars: The Force Awakens comes out, you can go to Brian Fritz's house because his computer connection, his internet connection, will allow him. When nobody else can get on the damn ticket website, he can get on Fandango.com and he can get you tickets to Star Wars on opening night.
It's getting really weird. My guess is this. My guess is that we're talking about Moses, right? Moses probably doesn't care about Fandango or Star Wars. And
how do you know he's not a Fandango fan? Maybe he likes to do the dance.
Yeah, well, you know, you got a good point there.
Hey, yep. I heard that Moses could cut a rug once he got through the desert, okay?
All I know is that Moses had some issues too, man. This is like, people say Moses are all like, look, he brought us two commandments, but Moses was not always all right in the head. Neither was Noah. Noah survived a flood, but he also walked around naked at one point. So read your Bible, folks.
That's called a nudist colony, okay? People do it. Let's see. We have Seth Rollins against Kane for the world championship. It's got to be Rollins.
Yes. With the Sheamus cash-in.
I don't want to see Kane as champion in 2015. And then we get Taker versus Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, to me, seems like the obvious choice. Do you foresee any way that Taker wins this match? And does anybody get involved?
Taker wins this match.
You think Taker's going
to win? I think Taker's going to win. And I think at this point, if anybody gets involved, that's kind of crazy. And it's a slap in the face to the fans.
Well,
Taker wins.
Would that be the only – well, to me, that's one of the ways you could kind of get out of Lesnar losing clean, and maybe it sets up a match for him at, you know, either the Rumble or more likely Mania. But I don't even know who that person would be right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you think Taker's going to win this match?
I think Taker's going to win, man. Mark my words. Watch it happen. Watch my prediction come to fruition.
Either way, win or lose, will Undertaker be able to walk to the back after this match?
No.
His own 2 feet.
Nope. He'll be – nope, nope, nope.
I worry about Taker. He looked really good.
I do too.
He looked really good.
He looks rough every time he gets up those little ramps. He's picking up his cape. He's all like, oh. Like, I'm like, hey, hold your balance there, bud. You got this. You can do it. Just raise your arms up and the lights will come on, man. Come on. You got this.
What were you going to say about Lesnar?
I don't know. He's a beast. Probably something mean.
Come on, man. You start something and just bail out. So
it's because there's too much going on tonight. All I'm saying is this. If you're playing DraftKings, WWE, Sunday night, you should probably not pick The Undertaker, but I'm going with it. I'm going with, which one would it be, the over or the under? Whatever one I'm – it would be the over. The under. I'm going with the under. That's the one I'm going with.
Okay. Quick
reminder. Undertaker. So I will get all the money. You take Brock Lesnar.
We'll get some questions here in just a minute. You can leave the questions on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/between the ropes. We do have the chat room going right now as well. A quick reminder that if you could check us out and support us at Patreon, go to patreon.com/between the ropes, whether it's $1 a month or more, all of that supports us and helps us keep doing what we do. It's greatly appreciated. Even for as little as $1 a month, following, we do these live broadcasts after every Raw, plus after every WWE pay-per-view. So that's 20 cents a show. That's it, 20 cents a show. So $1 a month. If you could do more than that, that's fantastic. We have some tiers set up there. So it really goes a long way in helping us keep doing what we do. And if you can support us on Patreon, we would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Just go to patreon.com/between the ropes. And also, while you're watching us, please subscribe to us here on YouTube. Just click on the little subscribe button if you haven't done that already, and you'll automatically get updated on when we do our live broadcasts, and we have other videos that are up here on YouTube as well. So let's get to some quick TNA news and notes, and then we will get some questions, okay? So
sounds good, man.
I know you're a big fan of the great Khali, and you've been wondering, where is Khali? I need me some Khali, because we haven't seen him in WWE for a year, believe it or not. Well, guess what?
I've been checking my phone.
Yep. No, wait, just been checking my phone. Just, I mean, looking up the Great Khali, and I've been calling my friends and said, hey, Grandma, where's the Great Khali? She says, who's the Great Khali? And I said, you know, the big wrestler who looks like a mummy. And she said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But nobody knows, you know. I got on the phone with JTG. He's always missing, too. I said, maybe Great Khali's hanging out with JTG. They're both missing together. You never know. And JTG didn't know. This has been a burning question. It's where I was last week. Honestly, my birthday, it's fake. I was not born. So last week, I was really out there looking for JTG. I mean, the Great Khali.
Well,
couldn't find him. Could not find him.
We have found the Great Khali. Not only did he recently appear in a commercial that went viral where it's promoting a cement company, which is true,
wow.
That Khali is now with TNA Wrestling. He is not a wrestler as far as we know, but with TNA focusing a lot on
that is the true thing you have ever said in your life, Brian Fritz. The Great Khali, he is not a wrestler as far as we know.
He's not wrestling for TNA as far as we know, but he is working with that company and helping promote. They're doing three shows coming up in December, December 2nd through the 4th, including the show on the 4th is going to be airing live in India. So they're working with Sony 6 over there, a big TV station. So that, I mean, TNA's partnership with India is only going to grow because that's what's helping them keep afloat as a company. And guess what that means? If you don't think Mahabali Shira is going to be the world champion here pretty soon, I'm telling you, man, that is going to happen. That dude is awful.
Yep.
And he is green as grass and should not even be on, you know, on TV. But yet, because of the partnership with India, we're doing more in that country. They're pushing him, and Khali is going to be working with TNA as they do a talent search to find the next great star to come out of India, following in the footsteps of Mahabali Shira. Hopefully this person can be better. But Khali's going to be working with him. Believe it or not, you know, Khali does operate a wrestling school in India. Insert laugh here. So Khali is working with TNA Wrestling, and his real name is Dalip Singh. And you know, it's funny, he went on Jericho's podcast earlier this year and he was talking about, oh, I'm healthy. And, you know, he goes, my knees aren't the best. So I can't run. He goes, I got plenty of wind. He goes, I could have an hour long match if somebody would just give me a chance. Oh, oh my God. Shit. That is the worst nightmare I've ever heard. An hour long match. Oh my God.
That's like that's what they do to torture people over in one of those torture camps.
Yeah.
Well, here
they make them watch Great Khali matches for an hour.
I understand that TNA has got to do whatever it takes right now to stay afloat. And that means, hey, we've got television in India that's going to pay and they like our product and we can do more partnership there. And that's going to help keep this company going. Okay. But at the same time, the problem with that, which I guess is kind of selling your soul to the devil, but you got to do what you got to do, is in doing that, they are catering to that audience from a standpoint that they are putting somebody in a prime position in Mahabali Shira. So they're kowtowing to that audience by putting them there. They're going to be searching for another Indian talent and putting them probably in a prominent role in television. And it makes for bad TV. It makes for a bad product when you're putting people in a position to be your top stars that just do not have the experience or the talent to really earn that position. And yes, they might become more popular in India, but I think that's definitely going to really, you know, hurt them when it comes to their audience in the United States. Now I understand that, you know, they might not, and they won't have a television deal here in the US pretty soon. And they're still trying to, you know, find somebody else to take that spot come beginning of next year. But I mean, even if they do, they're just shooting themselves in the foot with who they've got to put, you know, in stars that they're going to be pushing on television. I mean, they're already losing some other talent. I mean, Kurt Angle has already said, hey, he's stepping aside. His contract's ending at the end of the year. You know, there's big questions about Jeff Hardy and whether or not he's going to be back. And we wonder about some other guys. James Storm recently left. Now he's with NXT. But, you know, you've got EC3 and then who else, you know, and you're going to put Mahabali Shira in this big role. I mean, it's tough, man. That's really, really tough.
Yeah, it's not the best place to be, and it feels desperate. We're going to put the title on a guy that we can use to leverage local appearances. That's not something you do as a national company. So,
yeah,
good luck.
Well, there is a lot of
talk. My offer still stands. $10 a sandwich. You got it.
There, I mean, TNA is talking with Alberto Del Rio, and they might be able to bring him in. He's talking with them. He's talking with WWE, so you might not be – might not be just working, you know, in Mexico and doing stuff with Lucha Underground when their second season starts. He might go back to WWE, but he might say, you know what, I like the schedule a little bit easier with TNA, and they want him. So
does that change the tide very much,
though? I don't think so. I don't think it does if he goes back to WWE even. I know they want another Hispanic star. They desperately need one, but I don't know what they're going to do differently, because especially if you put him in WWE, he has to be a heel. That's where he is most effective. Yep. He needs to be a heel.
You would have to take somebody like CM Punk, like Daniel Bryan, somebody on that level. I mean, John Cena would never happen. So reasonably, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, somebody on that level to even make a dent in the tide. If Hulk Hogan couldn't do it, of course, he's not a wrestler. He's not out there every week. But again, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough.
Speaking of Angle, he reiterated that he is done with TNA come the end of the year because his contract expires. And we're not sure exactly what is next for his pro wrestling career, but he did say that he wants to use his college education to help others, teach others. That's the next step for him in his career, is he wants to teach people. So Kurt Angle, I think, would be a tremendous teacher. Could you imagine? I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I mean, if you're WWE, I know they're not interested in him as an active wrestler. And I think Angle's still open to that. Would it be one match or a short run? I don't think it's going to happen, though. But could you imagine him as an instructor with NXT?
It would be awesome, man. It would be everything. It would give those young talents so much to sink their teeth into. It would be incredible.
Absolutely. So, but I don't think it's going to happen, and I don't think WWE is going to bring him back too, which I'd love to see him at least have one last match there, because otherwise I don't know if he's going to have one more match. And if he does, who would it be with? Would he have a few more? Would he have one more? Would it be with TNA? Would it be someplace else? I mean, you'd love to see it at a big stage in WWE, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I doubt it at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see him going back for the Hall of Fame. At some time, they'll do that. But I don't think they're going to let him wrestle another match. And I wouldn't be surprised, quite honestly, if he's already had his last match.
Couldn't say it better myself, man. Yeah. We're on the same page.
Do you want to get some questions?
We're a little light on the questions tonight. That's okay, because we have a podcast to go watch. So let's see here. We'll start off with Francis, superfan numero uno. And Francis says, how was your birthday, Michael? Well, Francis, it was quite nice. Thank you for asking. I got to spend it with my friends and family, get a carrot cake, and I enjoyed it.
The annual carrot cake that your wife makes for you.
The annual. We didn't even get to make to the – my wife makes a meatloaf every year, too, and we didn't get to it. So she's making it for me tomorrow night.
Nice.
He asked us a couple of questions here. Do you see in 2016 NXT will sign wrestlers like Kaylee Ray from the UK? So, yes, NXT is looking into more avenues and more global avenues, obviously. They've been in talks with New Japan. Kaylee Ray, sure, why not? Anybody from the UK, it could happen. This is NXT. Any prediction on who will win the next NFL game in London? Fritzy, who's in the next NFL game in London?
That's Sunday. Is that the Jags against the Bills? Obviously, we're sending over the best teams that we have to the UK. That's how much the NFL considers or cares about London. I'm looking right now, real quick. I think that's the game next week is Jaguars-Bills, which is just wretched. Say the least. Hold on one second.
You're going to go with the Bills. In that case, the Bills are going to win it.
I would go with the Bills. Yep, Bills, Jaguars. Holy shnikes.
Holy shnikes. Bills it is.
I guess I'd go Bills, but neither team is very good.
Go Bills or go home. That's what I always say.
There you go. Anything else
from
Francis?
That's all the questions. That's all we got from Francis.
Do we have any in the chat room?
Nothing in the chat room. Everybody's watching the Stone Cold podcast. Nothing on the Twitter.
You know what that means?
It's an early night for us, Francis.
An early night
for us. I gotta go get my sleep on and get my podcast on.
Yeah, we probably need to do that as well. I'm checking real quick to see if. Yeah, nothing really happened so far from a news standpoint. I will say from the Brock Lesnar podcast, it's not like him and Steve Austin started fighting to set up a match at WrestleMania. So,
darn.
I don't think that match is going to happen.
You heard it here first. It's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. What a bummer. What a bummer. So,
man.
On that note, we will wrap it up.
On that note.
Everybody,
way to go, Frenzy. Yeah, on that note. Way to go.
So, we got to review Raw and get a couple other news and notes, but I have another podcast later on in the week. A couple of reminders, please subscribe to us here on YouTube, like our videos, share them, and feel free to make comments below as well. Check us out at BetweenTheRopes.com. Also, you can find not only all our podcasts there, but you can go to SoundCloud.com/BetweenTheRopes. That is a new place where you can find all of the Between the Ropes podcasts. Obviously, we've got up all the different videos here on our YouTube page, but we also take this and have just the audio version, which is available on SoundCloud. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes as well as on Stitcher. Please rate us and review us there as well. Like I said, you can find us at BetweenTheRopes.com. On Twitter, it's at BetweenTheRopes. And check out the Facebook page as well. It's Facebook.com/BetweenTheRopes. Mikey, thanks for the time, man. Get your Star Wars tickets, okay? Don't worry. Your wife is going to want to go get those Star Wars tickets.
Got it. Come on it, man. You got it.
Absolutely. So I'm Brian Fritz, and thanks again, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.